Well, good morning to you, and welcome to 2021. I want to wish you all a really happy new year, and it's a pleasure to be bringing God's word to you this morning. It's good to be together as we are. It's good to be here in the Grace Center. It's good to be worshiping our God, and it's good to be digging into his word. When 2020 began this time last year, it was a year that held so much promise. I guess because it was a round number, 2020. It was the start of a new decade. And so people had been anticipating it for a long time. For a little while, it was trendy. And then it became almost a bit cliche to talk about 2020 vision because of the whole, you know, 20 eyesight sort of thing. And people would talk about this 2020 vision. Many people were just thinking, considering, what do we want the world to look like in 2020? It was full of anticipation. It was full of promise. Never has a calendar year so over-promised and under-delivered. I'm sure you don't need me to remind you what 2020 has been like. But as we look forward now into 2021, there's definitely a sense of once bitten, twice shy. We're normally full of hope as we embark on a new year with all the promise it holds. And yes, we have some hope found in a vaccine and that kind of thing, but even so, as we start this year, we think, oh, I'm not going to make the same mistake I made last year of thinking, yes, this year is going to be fantastic. If all our hope is based on the promise of a new calendar year, then I guess we've just learned to be a little bit cynical about that. What we need are promises that are based on a much firmer foundation. As you look into 2021 personally, I encourage you to ask this question: what has God promised me? Not what do politicians promise me, not what do medics promise me. What does God promise me? What has God promised me personally? What has God promised the church that I am a part of? Right through the Bible, we are told that God is a promise maker. He's a God who loves to make promises. And being a Christian means that you have received that promise. So I want to read some verses to you this morning from the Old Testament. First of all, from Isaiah chapter 54. And then some verses from the New Testament as well, from Galatians, that helps to shed some light on the passage from Isaiah. But let me read Isaiah to you first. Isaiah 54, verse 1-5 says this: "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." Now, to understand what Isaiah was writing about there, we first need to actually go back through the Old Testament all the way to Abraham and the in the book of Genesis. Abraham, or Abram as he was known at that time before God changed his name to Abraham, he was just a normal man. He was a normal bloke who worshipped God, and God chose to make a covenant with him. So it says this in Genesis 15. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Even though Abraham and Sarah were old and barren, several years later, God gave them a son, Isaac. So God's promise to Abraham was for blessing and fruitfulness and for many descendants. And you can read about Abraham and think, well, that was nice for him. And God's promise of many descendants, well, surely that was fulfilled in the Jewish people, Isaac and Jacob, and then Jacob's sons that became the tribes of Israel. But that's not what the New Testament teaches us. That's not what Jesus taught us. So let me read you some verses from Galatians now. Galatians 3, verse 26 onwards, say this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you belong to Christ, then this is about you. Every promise given to Abraham and interpreted throughout Scripture, including our passage in Isaiah 54, is also given to you. Anybody can become a descendant of Abraham because you become a descendant of Abraham when you become a Christian. It's belonging to Jesus that is important. And you belong to Jesus when you put your faith in him, when you trust in Jesus, when you trust that his work on the cross, as his body was broken and his blood was shed, you trust that that was for you, for me personally. So when Paul was writing to the Galatians, he goes on in the next chapter to quote our passage in Isaiah 54. He says this, for it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Then he says to the Galatians, now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. So it's absolutely right that we read Isaiah 54 and say, right now, this is saying now, Grace Church, like Isaac, we are children of promise. When you read the words of the Bible, you need to hear the voice of God speaking to you directly. He really is. God knows we need a sense of promise and a sense of hope more at the start of this year than perhaps at any time before. Well, this is what God promises you. Unlike any other group of people on the planet, we are children of promise. So, what does the promise of Isaiah 54 mean to us in the context of our lives, in our church this year as we head into 2021? Well, firstly, God's promise is for miraculous provision. This is God doing what only God can do. Isaiah 54 verse 1 begins, "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child." So Isaiah is remembering Abraham's wife, Sarah, and how God came and promised them children, offspring. But Sarah had never been able to conceive, and now she was old. They were both old. The only way God's promise would be fulfilled was if God acted supernaturally. That's the nature of the promise. Now, Abraham tried a worldly solution with Hagar, who was his servant, but that's not where the promise was. The fulfillment of the promise had to come from God. The reason we are brought into the promise is because God has acted, because he has done it, because he has established a covenant of grace with us that's entirely through the work of Jesus. You were helpless to save yourself, lost in sin, condemned to die. It is the ultimate state of barrenness. But God acted. He intervened. You didn't just come across one day and say, "Oh, I've just found God." No, God intervened. He stepped into your life. Jesus came and died for you. Every time one person gets saved, it is the extraordinary provision of God. Like the birth of Isaac to Abraham, unmerited, unjustified, inconceivable, literally, to the point of being impossible. And yet God did it. And our God has not changed. He continues to bless, continues to work, continues to bring a harvest purely as an act of his grace, not because we're qualified, not because we fulfilled some criteria or even have the required abilities and resources. There is a work that God wants to do among us, I believe, this year. And it's miraculous. And I know that because it's the nature of the promise. It shouldn't be possible based on a natural assessment of our resources. When God works, he always exceeds the natural resource of his people. That's what it means to be Abraham's seed. I am constantly amazed at the level of gifting that we have within our church here. How well served we are with our worship team, all the creative people we have, the practical, technical people we have to be able to produce our Carol Service DVD like we did. And just entirely with the skills we have within our church, I just thought, wow, we can achieve. It's just awesome. But at the same time, as we head into 2021, it feels like we have never known a greater challenge. The church feels scattered. It's a struggle to keep in touch with one another. The momentum of church life that sort of came from the metronome of events, it feels like it's all but run out. And we're all a bit fed up. Bit fed up of COVID and lockdowns and stuff. And emotionally, it takes a toll and we're all a little bit run out. As I consider what Grace Church can achieve through 2021, I can't help but start from an assessment of our natural resources. And it draws me to the conclusion, well, I think surely just surviving would be an achievement. Is that what we should hope for in 2021? Well, let's just get through it. Let's just survive. But when you get to the end of your natural potential, that's just where God begins to work. If you feel a kind of an emptiness, if you feel a spiritual barrenness, then, I mean, to be honest, join the club. But that is exactly where God can use you, because the fruit of God's kingdom does not depend on natural solutions, but on the miraculous, radical, gracious provision of God. God doing what only God can do. And we have a promise of God's grace. It's always miraculous. So the provision of God is not only miraculous, it is also abundant. In fact, it is wildly lavish. So Isaiah 54 verse 1 again says, "More are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." If God had said to Abraham, "Even though you are old and Sarah is old and barren, I'm going to give you a son." Now that would have been something. That in itself would have been amazing. But God told him to go out and count the stars. It's an impossible job. I'm sure Abraham didn't have light pollution like I was wittering on about at our cow service. But it's like you see the stars, you know, I can't count them. And God says, that's how many descendants you will have. The seed contains life potential within it, not just for one offspring, but for many. Not just for one generation, but there are cycles of harvest and new life contained within it. So when God says that you are Abraham's seed, that same promise of abundant, multiplied harvest is in you too. It's in all of us. At this time, we should expect God to do a big thing, to take us to places we have never gone before. Not because we've got the resources, not because we've got the energy or the clever strategy, but purely because abundance is hardwired into the promise of God. We should expect to see many people saved. Expect God to move in power through us and in us in amazing ways. Don't let the uncertainty of 2021 rob you of the privilege of believing for the abundant provision and blessing of God. Take hold of his promise. We're only the seed. Seed always looks to the future potential. It looks forward with anticipation. The seed itself is always a little bit kind of disappointing and ropey, you know, in your hand. You think, is that Grace Church? Doesn't look like much to me. Just chicken feed. Yeah, but amazing potential. It's contained right there. The promise is for enlargement. The promise is for increase. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. When someone puts their faith in Jesus for the first time, we rightly rejoice. And there is rejoicing in heaven. But we should already be giving thanks for the way that God will work through that person to extend his kingdom. They are seed. For every person that comes through to salvation, I want each of them to reach out to two or three or five of their friends and see them saved. What's the R number of the kingdom of God? So these verses in Isaiah, they contain a prophetic promise to Abraham's seed, and that's us. And I just believe that God would want to say to us, remember who you are. Remember the promise that I have spoken over you. that I have put in your hands. Our responsibility is not to hope that it is true. It's not to somehow make it true. It's just to know it is true. It is true as a simple positional fact. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. What we should do, however, is get ready. Perhaps the greatest danger we face right now is that we simply check out emotionally and spiritually. Just kind of leave the room. Just become fatalistic in our approach to life. And I think it's a real danger that we do that at the moment. We've spent so long bracing for impact from one set of COVID restrictions to another and then dealing with all the consequences of it. It's a consequence to our family and our work and how we do church. And it wears us down. And in the end, you get to a point where you think, well, just bring it on. I mean, just whatever. I just don't care anymore. It's a bit like going for a walk on a rainy day. And when you set out initially, you try and dodge the puddles so as to keep your feet as dry as possible. But in the end, your shoes are just soaked through. And so you don't even see the puddles anymore. You just kind of plow through them. But do you think life is a bit like that at the moment? You just say, oh, whatever. Just bring it on. Don't check out emotionally and spiritually when it comes to the promises of God. Don't do that. Instead, let's be a people who know what God has promised and respond in faith. Isaiah 54 verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back. In essence, this is saying, prepare for the enlargement that God wants to bring. And the picture that Isaiah paints for us here in this situation is when parents are expecting the arrival of a new baby. And for some of you, that is recent history. For me, it's not quite so recent. I can just about remember it 22 years ago. The arrival of a new baby. When you find out that a new baby is on its way, any plans that you had beforehand, I mean, they just change immediately. Now it's all about baby preparations. It's about getting in the stuff, getting in the clothes. I mean, in my day, you went out and bought a pushchair. And now you get in a Versatrex F1 baby transportation eco life support system. But the point is you prepare. You get ready. God says through Isaiah that we should expect not just one baby, but many. If you have had twins, you will know that the chaos increases exponentially with the number of children. Isaiah shows us how we should get ready for the increase that is promised by God. And the pictures from camping, or at least from a nomadic lifestyle of living in tents, for the Israelites, this would have conjured up memories of the time when they walked with God through the desert, having been redeemed from Egypt. The tents they lived in were panels of material or skin which were laced together tightly to form a larger sheet and then tied between poles which were held up with guy ropes attached to stakes in the ground. So the whole thing kind of stood up. To prepare for enlargement, it was necessary to slacken off the cords that joined these panels so that a new panel could be fitted in. But then because the whole structure was heavier, it was necessary to drive the stakes holding the guy ropes, drive those stakes further into the ground so the whole thing was secure. For us as a church, as we go into 2021, it is important that we both lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. Let me explain what I mean. We couldn't have conceived a year ago that we would have been prevented from meeting and worshiping together for so long, so many months, and still we find ourselves in that situation. I certainly wouldn't have chosen it. There is a very real sense in which this has been a spiritual attack on the church. I don't mean that our government is attacking us. That's not where our battle lies. We have a spiritual enemy, the devil, who just loves to shut down churches. But the devil can only do what our Father in heaven ultimately intends for our good. I wonder if God just wanted to shake us loose of some things that otherwise we might have just held on to, clung on to tightly, and been totally rigid about. And now God is saying, just let those cords go a bit. It's not about changing the whole shape of the tent. We are still who we are. But we do have a unique opportunity at this time to consider who we are and what we are called to do and the way in which we do things. And we could simply ensure that as we come out of lockdown, that everything goes back exactly as it was, and that's our priority, to make everything look the same. But I believe we can do even better. We can do better than that. All the time believing for the growth, believing for the blessing that God has promised to provide. So this is a season for loosening some cords. The way we run our children's work, Supernovas, and to some extent Energizers as well, it's changed a lot over the last 9 months. And it would be great to see us build on that as we get back into our site venues and doing church. We just don't want to go back, although it was great where we were, but I feel like we've moved on and we say, hey, we can do even better. We've loosened a cord there. Online church. I mean, it just wasn't even in our thinking this time last year. But now we can consider, how does an online presence best serve the unique vision and calling that God has given us as a church, both this year and in the years ahead? Maybe we won't do everything in the same way we used to do it. As I look back at the relatively short history of Grace Church, I would say that a key strength that we have always had is that we hold the cords lightly. We know what values we have. We know what's important to us, but we hold what we actually do quite lightly. And in your own life, it would be possible, but such a shame, to limit the purpose and the blessing of God by saying to God, no, this is mine. I'm holding tightly onto this. Has God called you to something, but you are thinking, yeah, but I'd have to give up this other thing? There's a harvest that God wants to bring to your life, an expansion of fruitfulness, growth in things of the Spirit, but maybe you just need to loosen some cords. Let go of a sinful lifestyle, maybe. Let go of unforgiveness. Let go of materialism. Let go of some preconceived plans for the future that you had before. As God expands you, be prepared to just let the cords run through your fingers. Don't just yank it back. Say, no, God, what are you doing? I'm going to go with that. I'm looking forward to a return this year, eventually, to many of the things that were familiar to us, both within the church, but also familiar to me in my own life. I'm looking forward to greeting one another around the room. I'm looking forward to lifting our voices together in worship and belting out our worship and making some noise. But some other things might be new. And that's okay. That's better than okay. Let's be flexible. Let's be ready to adapt, getting ready for growth. That's loosening the cords. But then at the same time as loosening the cords, we need to strengthen the stakes. At times of enlargement and expansion and change, there can be added tension, there can be pressure to compromise on the very things that anchor us into Jesus. And these are the stakes that we need to guard carefully, maybe even bash them into the ground a little bit more tightly. It feels like everything in society is kind of fluid at the moment and sloshing around. Like it's like when the tide comes in and stirs up the seabed, and it's all just kind of moving and it's in a state of flux. And when the tide goes out again, the sand will settle into a new place. But for now, it's all on the move. After COVID, I don't know what our economy will look like. I don't know what the education sector will look like, or the health service, or the entertainment industry, and all of that. It's like it's all swimming around at the moment. But as God's church, as Christians, we are not just at the mercy of the prevailing currents of our society, because we have a greater anchor. We are staked into solid ground. And in fact, we are better able to provide the hope that our society needs, better set up to receive the growth that God promises when we take time to strengthen those stakes in a season like this. So what are some of these stakes? Well, surely the first one is the Word of God. God's Word, the Bible, it's a stake in the ground. So much swimming around, moving at the moment, but God's Word is unchanged. Remember, Jesus said that when a person hears His words and puts them into practice, it's like a man who built his house on solid ground. You can do nothing better than to root yourself into God's word at the moment. Be ruthlessly intentional about it. Just before Christmas Day, I finished my Facebook thing. I was putting a daily reading each morning onto our Facebook group. And there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. So I went through all 260, and I was there every day clogging up our Facebook channel, other than 2 weeks in July, I think, when I was on holiday. That wasn't when I started reading the Bible, when I started doing that on March the 23rd, I think it was. And I haven't stopped reading the Bible since. It's been no hardship to read through the Bible because I love it. I was doing it anyway. And my main reason for being there just on Facebook every day is that I just wanted to demonstrate that it is not hard to read the Bible. It's just a choice. And you can do it. And more than that, it's not hard to find truth that stimulates your mind, that encourages your spirit, that shapes your life. It is just there on every page. So keep reading the Bible for yourself. You don't need an audience. You don't need to be on Facebook. You don't need to be telling people necessarily what's going on. You just need you and God and to find Him in your word. And it's precious. We will continue to be a church that is anchored into God's word. Next week, we're going to start a new preaching series. We're going to preach our way through John's gospel. And I'm excited about that. I've wanted to do this for a long time. Finally get to it. We're going to preach through John. The pervading question of our generation is, what is life really about? And how do I find that for myself? I think people are asking that all over the place, in different ways, but it boils down to the same thing. What is life really about? What does it mean? What is life? Well, John said in his gospel, that is exactly why I am writing this gospel account of the life of Jesus. And so that's where we're going to look. So we'll start that next week. We'll be in John's gospel. But then another stake that we need to strengthen is what the Bible refers to as baptism in the Spirit. We're a charismatic church. So whether we are in lockdown or as we come out of lockdown, we will continue to contend for the charismatic to be a part of what we do. We expect, we just love to encounter God in our worship by his Holy Spirit, to hear him speak to us prophetically, to see all the gifts of the Spirit at work within our church. And I feel like through this last year, we've had to continually bang that stake into the ground. I know from my own experience that it's hard when you are sat at home on the sofa to engage with worship. I find it hard myself. And you know what? That's okay. God knows that. But we still need to strengthen this stake. We are not a charismatic church because people contribute on a Sunday morning or because we have a worship band. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to every person who has put their faith in Jesus. We live in the age of the Spirit. When God has said, in those days, in these days, in this year, today, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. You are included. So as we go into this year, let's be a church where we expect and encourage and make space for every single person to be filled with the Spirit. Not just leaders, not just people who've been Christians for a long time or you know, those keen ones who often contribute. No, not all people, everyone. So we don't just know about God. We don't just kind of observe him doing stuff in other people's lives. No, we all encounter him. We all know what it is to have God at work in our own lives. And we could so easily drift away from that. Let's drive that stake into the ground. And then thirdly, finally, another stake would be prayer. We have really stepped up at the moment and through 2020, how much we have been praying as a church. And it's great. I believe it's going to be even more important, all the more important, as we get into 2021. How do we get ready to receive the promise of God? We need to be a church that prays. Throughout the lockdown month of November, there were 663 hours of committed prayer across the church. I think it's wonderful. Can you imagine if 100 people turned up to a church prayer meeting? I mean, that alone, I'd be delighted in. But imagine if they then all stayed there praying for 6.5 hours. I mean, that would really be something, wouldn't it? Now, the effectiveness of prayer is not measured in hours. If it's measured in anything, it's measured in faith. Do you believe? Do you believe that through prayer you can move the arm of the Almighty God and change the course of our nation? Because if you don't believe that, then your stake is starting to come loose in the ground. Let's knock that stake back in. Let's be a church that prays. So we need to loosen the cords and strengthen the stakes. Be flexible in the way we do church as we begin to emerge from lockdown and we find out what that means for us in 2021. But at the same time, let's be sure of what God has called us to, our values, the truth that underpins us, and maybe even hold more tightly, more intentionally to those things as society tugs us in different directions. The most important command in Isaiah 54 is surely the very first word, sing. It says, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. What's the most important thing we can do as we embark on 2021? don't forget to sing. And maybe that's kind of ironic, as that's the one thing that we are told we cannot do when we gather together. But what I mean is this: don't ever stop enjoying God. Don't stop celebrating his goodness. Don't ever stop enjoying church. My basic philosophy is, if we are not enjoying what we are doing, then we must be doing it wrong somehow. So let's remember to keep it fun. And we won't get everything right. A lot of our tech is held together with virtual sticky tape, but we kind of muddle our way through, and it'll be a bit messy, and there will always be more we could do. But do you know what? God is with us. He has brought us from a place of desolation and barrenness to a place of blessing. From a place of hopelessness to a place of promise. And we did nothing. God has done it all. We have so much to give God thanks for, so many reasons to delight in him. So as you go through this year, before you do anything else, let your heart sing. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do that as we worship him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise. We thank you for your promise. We thank you sent your son Jesus into this world that we might know forgiveness, that through his death we might know life. And we thank you, O God, that you have spoken promises over us, that we are your children, that we are heirs of the most amazing promise. I pray, O God, that you would just fill our gaze, fill our vision as we head into this year. I would just pray for every person who right now feels that sense of barrenness, spiritually, emotionally, I guess physically, just feels empty, spent. Lord, I just pray, compassionate, gracious God, would you reach into that life right now? Would you quicken faith? Come by your Holy Spirit, I pray right now. Come with an assurance of your love. Come with your word, not the re-speaking of promises. I pray, O God, that a melody would rise up in our heart. We would know what it is to sing, because your promise in the midst of barrenness is for a harvest, for increase, for expansion. O God, make us a people who are ready. Make us a people who reach out to grasp hold of everything that you have set aside for your people. So, Lord, we would just commit this year to you. We thank you for it. We thank you for your attentiveness over your church, over your people, that we are safe and secure in your hands, in your arms. And we say, oh God, would you use us this year for your glory, for your fame, for your praise and worship, because we love you, Father God. Amen.